Give us a count around, Joel.
2, 3, 1.
Yeah, welcome to episode. Why didn't I
have no idea.
Yeah, episode 969 of the Links Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat. We have Joel.
Hello.
We have Joe.
Hello.
So, yeah, what happened was...
See, what happened is...
Yeah, what happened is...
And are you recording?
Yeah, I'm recording.
Okay.
Wait, does it say I'm not recording? No, I'm recording. I'm recording on three. So my one laptop down here just died. And I have no idea why. Like, I came down on Monday, and as I was working out, I was like, now would be a good time to update my systems. Actually, I ran an update on this system, I think. I was like, oh, I got to make sure I'm logged in. And weird thing was, is it wouldn't power on at all. And I don't know why. I didn't really get a chance to diagnose it or anything other than what I did Monday morning. I'm getting no power to this thing. So... I have another laptop that I squeezed in here, and then I updated all my systems and forgot that I needed to reboot my one system after the update, my main system, until right before the show. I thought I was just going to be able to squeeze this one in here. Now, this Asus laptop, I think, is probably... the oldest running laptop I have. It has a serial or a DIN port in it, I think it is. Or maybe this is a joystick port.
Wow.
It doesn't have, wait, let me verify this. Okay. It doesn't have a modem on it. Or at least I don't think it has a modem. I don't see one. Is that a modem? No. No. So it doesn't have a modem, but it does have Ethernet. It does have Wi-Fi. So I think it's in like 2010 somewhere in the 2010s. It does have USB. It's running Arch Linux. And it only has an audio out, which... the other laptop had an audio line in, and that's how I was getting the audio for the show to come in. I would play it off this other laptop here, and it would go right into the audio in. So what I did, since that wasn't working, I tried two external USB sound devices I had. I'm not sure why this one is not accepting it. I'm going to have to play around with it, I guess. It's quite annoying when it doesn't, like, work. I don't know why. But we'll figure that out, I guess, at some point. It would be nice to have audio back. Or I'll have to run it in. I tried to get it into this other system. The one I have. Like, at this point... originally, the way that this was all set up was there was one system that we had that accepted the audio input and piped it to Mumble. And then there was another system that we had that took the audio out from Mumble and sent it to the Icecast stream. But for some reason, like, I don't know what happened... but I couldn't get it after about a year or two ago. And it's been that long. Like, every audio device I tried plugging in to the Raspberry Pi that we had running Icecast on it, which used to work just fine, everyone I tried, it wouldn't accept, it just wouldn't have audio anymore. So there was no audio going to the stream. Or when it did, it was like horrible terrible audio. But if I plugged in headphones to the out of this device, this computer, it worked fine. Like, you could hear it crystal clear. But for some reason, now this is the sound card. Both of those that I tried were, well, actually one of them was the sound card that I tried with, that I got as a replacement for the other sound card. And yeah, I don't know. It's quite annoying. Anyway.
Interesting.
Yeah, that really bums me out. I'd really like to try and figure out why this laptop just died.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. Like, it was running fine last week.
That's like my experience with Luke. He started back at Columbus State Monday and went to go get his Windows laptop ready to go, and it took all freaking weekend to load the patches. Because he was like 2 years out of date. Get everything loaded, and it generally works, but it's like, for example, you launch the biggest problem is you launch an app and it takes forever for it to come up. Just really unusable with Windows 10 on it. So we're probably going to pick, because since he really kind of needs to have Windows to support, he has, because of his disability, he can go to disability services at the college, and they'll put on a piece of software that will let him basically have the book read to him. All right, he can read and all that, but it's just he doesn't have the patience to sit and read a book, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. So this allows him to listen to it so he can get his reading assignments, and he can digest it easier that way, you know. So that software runs on Windows. So he's going to need a Windows laptop. So, and it's okay, because I just realized...
Well, you can get similar software on... Well, I'm sure you can get it on Linux,
but
too,
but
at the very
though.
Least on Android.
Right, but not the book in that format.
Well, if it's in PDF, it'll get read.
It's not PDF, but, you know,
what's
it's
it
something I really don't know. I think it might be like a client that goes to an online website or something. I don't know 100%. So, I'm going to try now. It's funny. His laptop is rather old, though. We bought it for him in 2017, so it is 5 years old. So, doesn't really surprise me too much on Windows. But, and it has a terabyte hard drive, so I think, once we get them switched over, I'll probably take it and put Linux on it and see how it works with Linux on it. And it also has, instead it's not a terabyte SSD drive, it has a terabyte spinning disk. And I'm sure it's not a 7200 disk. I'm sure it's probably slower. So, which I think is part of the problem. That, and it only has 8 gigs of RAM. So I'll try getting it going with Linux.
20. For a laptop.
I don't disagree. Although all of mine have 16 or higher. So.
Plus, of course, you know, you run Chrome.
Yeah. Right. But, yeah, Chrome's a pig anyway. But yeah, so we're going to go laptop shopping over the weekend. But another thing that we still haven't got our federal tax refund. We're due to get back like $1,000 from federal government. And I think we were going to electronically file it, but I think she ended up mailing it. And that's an issue right now with the federal government. It's almost been 6 months since we filed. So when we get that back, I think I'm going to, if they still have them in stock, I think I might pick up a Pinebook Pro. Because they're only $212 right now. And they still have plenty of the U.S. ones in stock. And that only has 4 gigs, but it's also all completely silicon, so. I'm probably going to pitch my old Aspen Hybrix machine. You know, that's the second remix fail after the glorious Jive that we both so loved. But so we'll see when that comes with Manjaro. but you can load up a, I think almost anything on it. I think it's test out the ARM version on it, but it'll be a good system. It's only got a 14-inch screen too, so that might be a good small machine I can just keep downstairs for doing kind of bullshit I have to do downstairs, you know, without lugging my gamer laptop down there. And I did see, I don't know if you saw it, Joe, but Logitech's releasing a Steam Deck-like device that runs on Android.
Yeah, I saw something about that. I know that there's a couple of competitors out there, like Avaneo. I'm interested in the Avaneo Mini. I'm just not interested in the Avaneo prices.
Yeah, it's the Logitech G Cloud, I think. Everything was just a leak yesterday.
I think I saw an article on it, but I didn't read it.
Yeah, it's
somebody
not like...
that made a $30 Steam competitor.
Yep. And it's not like this one... like, they haven't tried this before. The old MP3 company, Arcos, they did several of those back in the day. Those ones weren't very good because they're much older versions of Android. But this will looks like it will ship with Android 11 with Snapdragon 720G. It will support Android 12 and hopefully 13, but... We'll see. No news on what kind of games are on it. You know, it could be like the Ouya and have just access to shitty Android games or mobile games. So,
well, at least it'll be good for emulation.
That's true. It does have, looks like it has the Play Store. So any of the emulators that you have on the Play Store should run on it, I would think.
And Steam Link will work.
Yep. I think isn't there an Xbox thing on that too for Android?
Sure.
I can't remember. Yeah. But let you stream games to that.
I don't really hook the Xboxes up to the internet. Well, my son's Xbox was hooked up to the internet, but I wasn't doing anything with it. He was just using it for like Plex and Netflix.
And I'll put this in the mumble chat so Dan can see this. It looks pretty nice. Looks is the operative word. That's all I know. I have no idea how it would function. And I do know Logitech makes decent hardware. Like their mice and stuff that I've had before work pretty well. The headsets, well, I think I'm using the Logitech headset right now.
Yeah, Logitech makes some really good mice and some okay keyboards.
Yeah.
I mean, their keyboards are sturdy and work for a long time, and the MX Ergo is a really good trackball mouse.
Yep. Let me ask you this. With keyboards, do either of you attach an external, any of you attach an external keyboard to your laptop, like your work laptop?
Yeah. All the time. Always.
I can. Last year when we were living in the hotel, one of my keys just stopped working. And apparently it wasn't close enough to the renewal period. Because it wasn't, you know, October is the renewal period for me this year. This October. To get a new laptop, so they sent a Dell tech out to the hotel room, and they replaced the keyboard. But in the meantime, though, I had a Microsoft mouse and keyboard set, and that worked pretty well. But
well, I like mechanical keyboards.
Yeah, that would be the only reason I would do that is to do a mechanical keyboard, because I do like them. I haven't had one since the old mainframe that I used to work on. Those were all versions of the Model M with the bucking springs.
So I have my RK100 that I use with my garage computer, and then I have my Red Dragon that I use with my gaming laptop inside, which is basically a desktop replacement. And then I have my what is it? It's a 60% keyboard that I keep in my bag when I go to work. All of them with blue switches.
Okay.
That's clank.
Yep. I do like on my Raspberry Pi 4. I've got it in a screen case that they have. I forget which one I have, but it's got the 7-inch screen on it. And I have the official Raspberry Pi keyboard and mouse hooked up to that. And I like them. You know, they're not. You know, it's not mechanical keyboard, but.
So, Logitech keyboards are at least extremely portable, and I love that their universal USB dongle.
Yes.
So if I want to pair a keyboard and a mouse to one dongle, I can mix and match to my heart's content.
Yep.
And if I lose that, it's like $10 to get another universal.
Yep. Yeah, they're not, the dongle's not expensive. But what about you, Dan? You
like with a lot of the paired ones where if you lose that dongle, guess what?
You're screwed. Yeah.
Yeah. Time to get a new device.
Yep.
Got a pretty paperweight.
You use external keyboard with your laptop, Dan?
Work or personal? Actually,
work.
Neither. Use an external keyboard. No.
I was going to say that might work out better for you with the Mac with the touch bar.
Yeah, but I don't have room for a keyboard on my desk, which sucks.
Yeah, that's a true statement there.
Well, my keyboard doesn't really go on my desk. I mean, I have a theater chair.
So. Yeah. If I had a screen that I could see from my recliner.
Okay, I got two 46-inch screens.
Yeah. I couldn't see well enough on a screen, though, to do work from where my recliner is. I'd have to basically move. Actually, and I've considered that, like, getting rid of the desk chair, just pushing my recliner up to my work seat. But I think my problem is it would not be comfortable enough for work.
Well, with my recliner, with my gaming laptop.
Right.
I also have, like, laptop table, one of those rolling ones with the adjustable height, and I put a 32-inch TV on that, and then I can move that as close as I need it to the chair. And
there you go. Yeah.
Have the 17-inch monitor from the laptop on my right, and the 32-inch screen in front of me.
See, I'm a multi-monitor person. Now, what I could do, and probably should do, is rearrange my desk and see. Well, the bad part is that the Thunderbolt port on my current work laptop is on the wrong side of the laptop, so I have to put the dock on the left hand side of the laptop. All right, if I could put it on the right hand side, then I could hook in my TV in addition to I can do my TV. Now, what I did do for the TV since I moved in here. It just had the cheap stand on it that comes with it, you know, that was just sitting on the desk. So I went on the Amazon for about $20. I found one that just screws into the VESA mount on the back. It's not attached to the wall, still sitting on a desk, but it's kind of like the ones that you might see on the hotel room TVs where you can pivot the TV either direction. So that's kind of nice. So I can tilt the screen towards my work position and, actually, it will come in handy tomorrow because I can watch the Artemis launch if it doesn't scrub again.
Yeah, I'm hoping it goes well tomorrow, and I'm really hoping that they do send somebody to the moon in 2025.
That would be awesome, wouldn't it? Yep. I see, and I get that it's yeah, we haven't, you know, that we've been there and all that. Because people are like, well, this is just the moon. We've already been there. Well, then you get some completely stupid idiots that say we were never to the moon, even though I know we were. But in fact, you can find evidence via a telescope, if you have a good enough telescope, that we were on the moon. Hey, the sounds worked. That's why he's been quiet. You hear that work, Dan? Where'd he go?
It's a little thing tech show, and that's fancy.
Hey, Dan, that's going out in the stream, man, or on the in the recording. You're muted, Dan.
Can you hear me now?
Sorry. Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, so the outro. Yeah, it's fixed. I don't. So, like, I had to go into Ulsa Mixer and unmute and switch it to line, then go into Pulse Audio, and I could see that it was playing. And it was showing that there was audio coming through, but it just wasn't going in the mumble. And then I saw that it was the mumble one, the mumble record on the Pulse Audio display was muted.
I wonder if you loaded the same updates that I loaded when I started having problems last week.
I can't because I'm using Arch on this.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, the Ubuntu laptop's dead. I'm sorry. You guys.
Okay.
Go ahead. You guys can continue on with what you were talking about.
No, that's okay.
I was listening.
No, Artemis is exciting to me. I hope it the launch goes well, not tomorrow. It's Friday. I mean,
you know,
Friday is when the Lex launch is.
I think it's a great thing too. I just wish it was launching from Tangier Island instead, so I could watch it from the comfort of my neighborhood.
So you see now here that's the fun part though is I do have two teammates, my senior manager above the whole team, and one of our engineers both work out of the Lake Mary, Florida office that's near Orlando, so they should be able to see it from there. So but as for me, I'll just have to live on the YouTube stream. Yeah. My, at least my TV has that, and I can just fire that up and have it on. And as long as I'm not in a phone call when the launch happens, which I don't think I will. I think it's supposed to be what about the same time it was supposed to be on Monday. So that's if they don't.
That's when you unmute yourself from the call and say, "Hey, everybody, I need 10 minutes. I will be right back."
Yes. So that. You know, so that I'm excited by it, you know, and the one thing that about it, because if you've seen the rocket, it's got boosters just like the space shuttle has on it. In fact, they're derived from that design, but we're not going to reuse them. So basically, I think everything from the capsule downward isn't reusable this time. Unlike the space shuttle was. So, and ultimately, I think they're supposed to launch stuff ahead of it. Like, they're going to have, like, a space station orbiting around the moon, I think, that they'll use for comms and stuff while they're down on the surface. So, we'll see. You know, that's Artemis 3 is the moon mission. So, and I was way too young to see the last Apollo missions, being born in 71. I was 2 when the last one went.
10 years older than me.
Yeah, I'm an old fart. See, now Alan might have seen some of them on TV when he was a kid. I sure didn't. I do remember watching the shuttle missions, the early ones, like
Hold on one second. I'm going to hand Kai the headset. I want you to assure her that you hear her voice twice every podcast where she says that she's short. Hold on. I'm going to hand it to her. Okay.
Dan could even play the headset on. Dan could even play it. Yeah, we hear your voice every week.
Once at the beginning, once at the end, right?
Yep. Play it, Dan. Play it, I'm sure.
He's going to play it.
Hold on. I wasn't ready for that. Hold on. Yeah.
I am short.
There we go.
There you go. Hold on.
Okay. She got mad and she kicked me.
She's a teenager, right?
For a little while longer. For another couple of months, she's still a teenager.
Well, there you go. Oh, it means you're going to have a 20-year-old. Ooh.
Uh-huh. 20-year-old and an 18-year-old.
It sure does go fast, man.
And a 12-year-old.
It's like we're on a call today with a good chunk of our team talking about, I think we're trying to put together a like troubleshooting checklist for when you have an incident. And we were talking about there's a girl on our team. Her name's Alex. She's the same age as my son. She's 23. And she's a system admin for on our team now. Actually, system admin / engineer. She was doing a lot of YAML / I don't know what my YAML and Python, I think, is what she's been writing a lot of, I think. But and we were saying that, you know, she's just a baby. I put a recipe in the channel there for shotgun shells. You ever heard of those, Dan?
Do you mean the stuff you put into a shotgun?
No, this is a barbecue snack.
Oh, no. Maybe I have.
Yeah. Take manicotti, like manicotti noodles, and you fill it with like ground beef and cheese. Okay. And then...
I take it they're already cooked, right?
No. You put them in there when they're still hard, and then you refrigerate those. I don't know if you wrap it with the bacon before or after it sits in the fridge for 6 hours, because it sits in the fridge for 6 hours, and that moisture kind of helps them start to get softer. Then the rest of it happens when you cook them on the grill. So then you wrap it with bacon, you smoke them for an hour and a half, and then you raise the temperature on the, you can use a pellet, but I guess you can use like a air fryer or an oven to do that. So you raise the temperature to 350, cook them for 10 minutes, then you spread barbecue sauce on them and cook them for another 10 minutes, and then they're done. So I guess you could put any kind of cheese you want in it, but that recipe... I might have to try that this weekend. But the recipe, the picture and the recipes, I think she was using what? Monterey Jack. I don't know if I'd want to use Pepper Jack on them in it. But I figure it's worth a shot.
No, why not?
Yeah. I mean, I have done things like the only thing I haven't done yet that I do want to try is a pizza from the very beginning, like from dough in the pellet boss, or pit boss, I should say, because I have the grill that can kind of smoke, but I usually make it a little bit better with the smoke tube. But you can do it from like raw dough because it does get hot enough for that. So, but I have done frozen pizzas in there, and those come out good. And they're a little easier because I don't have, like, if I did a pizza from pizza crust dough, you know, I'd have to have like a stone to put it on or something, because there's no way, you know, the dough would be too soft when you first put it on there raw. But I guess I could probably theoretically par bake it in the oven if I wanted to, but what's the point? So, I've done that. I've done Chex Mix in the smoker as well. That works well. Because the temp is usually low on that anyway. So that's about like the smoke mode is right around 180. So when I do Chex Mix, I put it on smoke mode and then cook it for maybe two or three times the normal cook time in the oven, just because it's a little bit lower temperature, so that it gets that nice texture that Chex Mix gets. But that's the kind of things I've done on it. Last two weekends I've been wanting to cook on it, but ended up cooking on my Griddler because is thunderstorming when I wanted to cook. And I don't have an awning over the grill area yet. I'd love to get a gazebo and put it over that area, but my wife's not a fan of that. You haven't done crayfish in a while, have you? Any crawfish lately? Guess not.
I haven't had crawfish in forever.
Oh, man. Me either. I need to order some etouffee from the local restaurant. Yeah, he lives in Dallas. That's a good point. You can still get it, though, I'm sure.
We can get gator here.
Do they really? Like I saw a picture on one of the Pit Boss groups, and I think a guy was from Texas. Or I don't know, somewhere in the south, but...
Oh, can you hear me now?
You posted a... Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, I don't... I must have been making too much noise, because Graybeard muted me. No, I have not done crayfish in a while, because...
It's expensive, too.
Well, you know, you can get... Yeah, it depends on how you buy it. Like, if you get it from Louisiana Crawfish Company, it's...
Yeah, it's expensive.
It's pretty cheap. No, actually, it's pretty cheap. But it depends on the season, when it's in season. So I guess the best season and the best prices are typically around June. I think it's May into June, and then the price starts creeping up. So. The other problem is that they can do some shipping on Saturdays, but generally, like, when I want to get a bunch of people together, it's more like a holiday thing.
Right, so like this weekend.
Yeah, they don't ship on... I mean, you can get it the day before, but they don't recommend that.
Right.
So... Anyway, that's why I haven't done it. No, I like to do crabs.
There you go.
That's I haven't done that in a little while. Yeah, they're pretty easy to get around here. They're not like the crab prices this year are a little expensive, but
I imagine
it hasn't been reflected down here. They don't seem more expensive than they were last year.
Supply chain issues with the crabs.
It's not just supply chain. It's also it's not a good harvest year.
Right.
So.
Crab is delicious. It's my favorite is if I can get a hold of some Alaskan king crab legs, because those make cracking the shells worth it, because there's big, huge chunks of meat in it. But I love that stuff, but like I don't buy it because I'm the only one that would eat it. Well, my son probably would eat it. But my wife, you know, it's like, you know, the only kind of fish or seafood that she likes is if it's comes from the Gorton's Fisherman, or a place like there's a local place here called Old Bag of Nails. They make a traditional English style fish and chips, which is delicious. But let's be honest, that's not that healthy. Same thing goes with, like, if I want to buy a big piece of salmon or something, I can't eat all that, you know.
You could freeze it up. You could smoke it.
Yeah. You know, by that point, I might as well just buy smoked salmon and be done with it. So I mean, that, you know, there's that, you know, and I do need to take Luke fishing before we bought our licenses before we went down to Lake Hope, but me not being to that park in years didn't know there wasn't a fishing dock, and so the only places you could have fished from was from the edge, and that's not fun because you're dicking with the weeds and stuff, you know.
I haven't gone crabbing in years, man. What the fuck do you even use for bait? We used to use chunks of chicken.
For crab,
but that shit's like so expensive now. It's like, what do you use?
Yeah. Pat would rather eat the chicken than put it in the water.
Exactly.
For crabs.
At this point.
Well, I usually get like a small pack of legs, which is like $2 or $3, and then I use that on a line.
Right.
Or you can use chicken necks. They're pretty cheap.
I've heard people using hamburger to fish for crabs too.
Hamburger? What the hell do you put hamburger in?
That's crazy. How the hell is it hold together?
Yeah.
That's a good question. That's what they use. When I was a kid, I wouldn't eat anything they caught, okay? But when we lived in the Philly area, there was we lived in Essington at a place called the park that was there is called Governor Prince Park. And there's a step, like about 3 or 4 steps where you can go right down to the water on the Delaware River. And there was a Chinese family that ran a little grocery store in town, and they would literally fish for crabs with fishing poles. And they put a ball of hamburger on it. Yeah, you know, it was very cold. So
I always use traps.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean that's the interesting thing there, you know. But it's like, you know, they were pulling in good sized blue crabs, but like I said, I would eat it coming out of the Delaware just south of Philly. Nope.
Especially back then.
Oh, back then in the 80s? Yeah, definitely. It might be a little bit better now, but you know, cuz that's the other thing too is that besides all the factories and refineries all up and down Delaware right there, you'd also have, there was also right still in the river was a naval mothball fleet. Many, many battleships there, and the USS Forrestal was there. It came in at least once for a refit where they replaced the deck out. But then it wasn't out that long, and it came back. You know, this is, you know, we're talking the era of nuke subs, and this is a diesel powered carrier from Vietnam.
It's probably so, during the 80s when they refitted everything. I think they had mothball.
Yep, they didn't refit a lot of what they had. And, you know, they had a bunch of frigates and a bunch of not battleships, but mostly frigates and destroyers. Yeah, so nothing, you know, nothing huge except for the one carrier. But you know, and they're just sitting in the water, and what comes off of a ship? Paint, you know, grade into the river, and we're talking military grade paint, so it's probably not too great for the environment. So
if you're outside, you're okay. You don't have to breathe it in.
True. But, you know, it's going in the water and all that stuff. So it's not a great thing to do. But so, you know, they would do that. My dad, whenever we'd get crabs, it would always be king crab because, you know, that really made it worth your time to go through that work. But. So, you know, I'm trying to think of other stuff I could do on there because it's going to be comfortable enough here in Ohio to go out and do that stuff for at least another 2 or 3 months, I think. You know, it's, you know, September's tomorrow. So September and October are usually going to be fine. November can be borderline. But November, I'm thinking about if I can for Thanksgiving, I'll do a normal turkey in the oven. What I might do is I might get like a turkey breast and put it on the smoker. That would be good because I like that stuff. But
a turkey breast?
Yes.
I smoked a whole turkey, not this past Friday, but the Friday before. That was some good eating that weekend.
I guarantee you that. Yep. But just so I, you know, have stuff like that. In fact, football starts back up Saturday, so I might do something special because Luke likes to watch the game. That in the fall, that becomes our thing to do, and so we'll sit and watch the Ohio State game on Saturdays. And I might like stuff I like to do on those days is like I might get up in the morning and throw together the crock pot with some meatballs in it or something, you know, or I've done like little smokies in there too before with barbecue sauce. But and then usually like to cook something on the pit balls. But it's nice and clean now. I cleaned it. I haven't used it since I cleaned it out. Yeah, the weather wasn't cooperative the last couple weekends with lots of rain, thunderstorms.
So I got something here. This was good. This you're gonna like this, Joel. You're gonna like this. You're gonna like it.
You know,
so this involves our story editor application that we run on WordPress through Gutenberg, mainly for the Project Gutenberg, but VIP WordPress. And so we've been having like trying to run down some bugs, okay, and it hasn't been easy. And there's been the weird thing is like this blew me away, and I when I heard this I had to go look in myself, but apparently, WordPress itself doesn't really have a good search and find, you know, search and replace feature in it, which is a little odd, but it's even worse on the Gutenberg side. It's like it's not good, and and the recommendation for like a plugin to be able to do it was to go try and get this plugin that was for WordPress proper and kind of finagle it to work inside of Gutenberg. But if you want to do a find and replace through the database, there's like plugins and stuff for that, which is weird. Like, why doesn't it have a decent plugin? I don't know. Plugin or find it, search and replace. So, and there's been feature requests for this for like years now. And why they haven't done it, I don't know. Anyway, so they've been trying to find some other bugs and work through these. And then there's a couple other members on our team that don't have it set up on their local workstation. And so the way that we use it locally, because it's not just a WordPress instance, it's WordPress run through VIP, which is a third-party company that adds a ton of their own plugins and stuff on top of it, and then our customization. So one of the recommended ways to do this is through Varying Vagrant's Vagrant, and it's essentially like this ultra like flexible Vagrant scripted system that will spin up and configure for you a WordPress environment involving a LAMP stack, so you got your all that stuff and it's all integrated together and it works, and then it pulls down the VIP stuff and it pulls down your repo however you want to provision it, and they make it a little easy to add extensions. There's a bunch of other extensions, so they take out a lot of the heavy lifting of what you would have to do to try and get this to work, you know, pull it all together yourself. They made it pretty easy, which is nice. Unfortunately, it's still not like brain dead easy, and there's a series of steps that you have to follow that we used to link to off of our documentation onto the VIP side where they had all this written up, because it when you're writing documentation, you have to like weigh the choice of, are you going to rewrite everything when they already have it sufficiently documented over here? Are you just going to rewrite it all? Well, the risk that you take when you don't rewrite it all is that if that documentation disappears, you're kind of like shit out of luck. You know what I mean? And that's exactly what happened to us. You know, the people who were coming in to help track down some of these bugs and take care of them went to go set up their local environment. And lo and behold, when they followed the documentation trail, it wasn't complete anymore. And it didn't match. Like, they changed a bunch of things around, some for the better. They kind of deprecated our way of using VVV to do this for their own tool that they built. And, you know, I think I spoke on this tool before, which uses Docker containers and is brilliant and beautiful. And it's so easy to get up, set up, and running. Unfortunately, we kind of, one of the problems with us adopting that is that we had to write and, you know, very well customize the SAML plugin, the one login plug SAML plugin, to work with our Okta system that we have implemented. And so when you log in through Okta, it sends the credentials, or your login credentials, out to Okta. They verify it, and then it's a redirect back. And the redirect back is coming back on a host name. And the way that the new way that they have it designed is, I haven't been able to figure out how I can get it to use that same host name. Like, Varian Vagrance sets it up, and it's called Gannett.test. And I don't know how I can get that to work in this other system, because it's kind of a little bit closed, where Varian Vagrance is just pretty much an open script. And you can configure some different stuff. Anyway, so I went with the intention then on Monday, because I had helped two people last week go through this process. Now, I have done it myself many times, because I'm always wiping my stuff out and then reinstalling and playing around with it and testing stuff. So I'm pretty familiar with the process. And I wrote the process for installing it in CircleCI too and setting it up. So I had it all scripted. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to sit down and write out the entire documentation, you know, very detailed, how to do it, what needs to be done, and be finished with it, right? And so I did that, and the one guy that I was helping on Monday, the third guy, I said, if only I would have been a day earlier with doing this, you wouldn't have run into all these problems, right? Because I rewrote all the documentation, so it's really simple. And so he read through my documentation, and he's like, it's too much documentation. I just want simple steps on what I need to do to get it running. And I'm like, well, what if you have a problem? Then you kind of know what you're doing here. He's like, yeah, but just simple steps. And he's like, why don't, then I was like, okay, I see what you're saying. So I'm like, instead of, like, I documented what you needed to do to put in the config file, right, for Varian Vagrance, so that it would set everything up on the VVV side. And then I was like, well, if I'm going to document it, why don't I just include a copy of the config as it should be set up? And they could just grab that and drop it in there. And I did that, and then I explained all the changes, and he's like, well, why did you, you know, if you have the config file, you don't need to put all that we described with the changes you made. Well, I'm like, well, I kind of wanted that for informational purposes. He's like, well, just like I'll put it on an addendum down at the bottom of the page. And he's like, so one of the steps you have to do to set up the WP config file is you have to get.
Oh, hold on. I'm sorry. I should have interrupted you earlier. But somebody was complaining that there was too much documentation.
Yeah, too much documentation.
I don't see how. Exactly. It's not possible. I can understand wanting a page that says this is the setup, and then having another series of pages that has everything you need. But there's no such thing as too much documentation.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I should rephrase that. He would rather have had a TLDR, and then you could describe all this process.
Right. Okay.
So, one of the steps in there was, here is the location in the vault where all the secrets that you need to take in and put in a WP config file as environmental variable, define them as variables in there, and this is how you do it. And he's like, I don't like the idea of people having to go into the vault and trying to pull this information out and put it into the file. It's just, if there was only an easier way to do that or blah, 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 blah. So I'm like, you lazy son of a gun. You're gonna get me on this, right? So I was like, I already did the scripting in Cypress to take all those values and write them into the WP config file in Cypress side of things. It would be very simple for me to take that and write it into a script that we just run, and it would pull those values out of the vault for them and write it into the WP config, right? And I'm like, I already have most of the work done, and in fact, I could like script the whole thing from you just run this, answer a few questions, and boom, it'll set this all up for you. I'm already building it in my brain how to do this, right? And it's like, it can't be that bad. Well, I'll tell you what. I sat down and I learned again the hard way that there is a huge difference between GNU said and BSD said, the said that's included in OS 10, which I guess would be POSIX said or whatever. I don't know the exact name for it. So the syntax, obviously, I had to figure out. So like where you could just do an insert into, like what I was doing in my Linux script was, that I was running under Linux, obviously, is I was searching for, looking in the WP config file for a specific line. And after that line, I was adding the next, like the configuration line. I would add that line of text. But on the OS X or the BSD side of things, if you're going to do that like as an inline thing, you have to provide a backup file name. So the syntax is said like dash I, and after the dash I, you put a backup extension or a backup file name, whatever you want to call it. So what it does is it'll take the original file, it'll write the original file to the backup, and then it'll make the changes to the original file name. So you preserve a backup. And if you don't want the backup, you just put like two quotes. So it's just like an empty string. Then you do your sed command. And once I got that down, and then also the way it has to be formatted is you put your search string in there, what you're searching for. Then you have, the slash, and then you have A for append. And then you have to have a space with two backslashes. I think it's, backslashes. No, forward slashes, or I forget which one it is. Then on the next line, you put in what you want, followed by the two backslashes, and then you close it, and then the file name. So that was a little different. So once I figured that, it took like half hour to get it changed, half hour, 45 minutes. And I was rocking and rolling. I was excited. This thing was working great until we have, we use Google service accounts. And when you get a service account key, It's a JSON file. And it has all the information in a JSON format that you need. And so when you're putting it in these, like, it's the same with like a certificate or whatever. When you're putting it in as a variable inside of WordPress, it has to be all one line, right? It can't be like split across multiple lines. So you have to get rid of the line breaks in there. And which isn't a problem. That was easy. That's already done, right? So I was using that just like that. And when it got to the service account, it produced this like really weird error. And it kept complaining like it couldn't complete the process. Like it's like missing a character after G, or it's expecting text after G, or the command is expecting an entry, you know, a text entry after this. And so like I tried all these different things. I'm like, what is in here? Like, it's working perfectly fine under Linux. Why under OS 10 is it having a problem? Is there a special character that I'm not accounting for, and all these things? And what it ultimately turned out to be after, and I could not find this documented anywhere, but after about an hour and a half, 2 hours of trying to play around with different things to do this, trying to find out exactly what was causing the problem. So I started truncating the value, and going outward. So I'd start with like the first 10 characters. And that was fine. And then like the first 100, and that was fine. And then I did 200, and then 300, and 400. And so I was going up there, like went to 1,000, and 1,000 was fine. And then I went up to 1,500, and that was fine. And then I got to 2,000, and that was fine. And then I did 2,100, and that didn't work anymore. And so then I went back to 2,000, and then I went up to 2,010, and that didn't work. And so what it came down to is, after, like, if it was more than 2,007 characters, it would throw this error message. And I was like, that's really fucking weird. Like, I never saw that problem before. So I started Googling around about this. I'm like, how could I solve this problem? How could I figure this problem out? How could I solve it? So I'm Googling around, and I can't find anything about this. Like, the error messages that are splitting out are basically, oh yeah, the way you fix this is you have to use the dash I, with the dash I parameter, you have to use like a backup extension. And if you're not going to use the backup extension, it has to be like two quotes with nothing in there. And that's the problem. And I'm like, this is not the problem. It's not accepting an input of more than 2,007 characters. So my next step was, okay, I can't find a solution to this. Let's split the variable in half. And then, is it a case because of the variables are too long or whatever? So I split the variables in half and then put both of those variables in there, and it was still a problem. Actually, that's not true. I thought I had it fixed. what I had done was I then took the secret from the vault, created a new secret that was only 2,007 characters long, and started messing with that one to figure this out. And then I forgot to change it back to the original one and thought I had it fixed, but I didn't. Because when I discovered I didn't have it fixed today, I spent another hour and a half, 2 hours trying to solve this problem and looking around and stuff. I couldn't find anything still. So what I eventually ultimately settled upon to fix this was, I took the variable and the string, and I split it in half. And then I wrote the first half on the line, and then I wrote the second half on a line, separate line. And then what I had to do is I had to write a sed statement to go in there and find that first line and delete the line break at the end of it, so it joined the two lines together. And that took a little while of getting that in the BSD syntax for sed too. But all in all, like, it took me like 4 hours just to figure out that problem. It was such a pain in the ass. And I still cannot find. Now, I was talking to a friend of mine, coworker, who's like, you mean this problem? And he sent me a page to documentation on GNU said that certain implementations of said, if they're that have a 4,000 byte limitation involved with what they can do. And 4,000 bytes usually is like roughly 3,601, I think, characters. So it was odd that I was running into that when it was only 2,000, like it could only do 2,007 characters. But I didn't look too deeply into the GNU side of things. I was strictly looking on the FreeBSD and OS X said documentation to see about this. And I couldn't find it anywhere. But it seems like that there is some kind of limitation. I don't know what it is. I don't know how to find it. And I don't know how to get around it easily other than what I did there. So, yeah, a lot of fun, Joel. A lot of fun doing that. But now...
Not...
Yeah, I have a script that will take us from nothing to having it completely set up. It just asks a few questions. And yeah, another annoying thing about it is, what's weird is, like, we need to be on the VPN to access Vault to get the secrets out of it.
But the,
yeah, the weird thing is, though, is to run this VVV locally and connect to our local instance of it, you can't be on the VPN. Like, the VPN just, like, totally screws
you.
Like, it won't allow it. You can't even connect to it unless you get off the VPN, which is wild. So it's annoying because the script has to tell you right from the start. It's like, you got to connect to the VPN.
Mm-hmm.
When you're connected to VPN, then ready. And I also have to put in there, like, I'm toying with this idea. Like, not only do you have to be connected to VPN, but you have to be logged into Vault, right? So I'm trying to think of whether I should put that in there, like to log you into Vault. But then I have to ask for a username and password to do that. So it'll tell you, make sure you're logged into the VPN. Then it'll go out and collect everything it needs from Vault, and then it'll say, okay, get off the VPN, and then when you're ready, press enter, and then it'll finish the rest of it.
Right. We had some interesting stuff this week too, Dan.
What was that, Joel?
We had a vulnerability we had to mitigate in Ruby, or Grails, actually, not is where it was. Grails is where the vulnerability was, and it was one of our products. The code folks, the guys in R&D, they released their fix, and we wanted to deploy it in... we did non-prod about 2 weeks ago now, and we were going to do prod, would have been a week ago tomorrow. And we go in to do prod, and it was tomorrow. It's either tomorrow. I think it was tomorrow. It was a week ago then. But we go to execute our pipeline code to do that. Basically, we merge it first to dev, which does the non-prods again, even though this is an ID item potent play. So it doesn't do anything if it's already upgraded. So then we merge it from development to master, and once you merge it to develop the development to match to master, since it's a pipeline, it will automatically do the thing, you know, an upgrade and deploy the servers. Well, part of our tooling relied on a service. I'd have to go back to the Slack channels to figure out which service off the top of my head, but there was one service that was degraded during our outage, and it basically failed last week. So later that day, Amazon fixed all their stuff. So Monday, we had another client by the end of last week that had some other issues, and we discovered, oh, he's on a really old version of this same thing that we're just getting ready to upgrade everyone to. All right. They were on 3 because up until now, we were deploying these by hand. Okay. So We may have been using Ansible, but we weren't deploying them in a pipeline fashion, and we weren't doing it with automation. All right, it was just log in, run to play, and that's it. You know, we're not doing that anymore. We're doing it with the automation tool, and they had to have theirs upgraded pretty quickly because we discovered the version they were on had performance issues that could have been impacting their server. So we kind of did a test of what we're going to do with that Monday night, Monday morning, early Monday morning, I should say. Our India team carried out that worked fine. And then Tuesday morning, we went ahead and did prod, and we did, I think we had 27 in East and 17 in West that we had to upgrade, and we did them all in about 2 hours. So if you don't think automation's good, you by now, I know I was a believer beforehand, but this was a great example of it. And also, we were the first team, the first product to have everything passed for our users. There's other ones that they haven't even started yet.
How long would it take you to do it the other way, a non-automated?
Manually? You're talking 40-some servers there, so yeah. Think about that. Well, we'd have to download the WAR file, we'd have to update the EMS config XML file by hand, then we'd have to repack the WAR file, undeploy the old and redeploy the new, and that doesn't count potential upgrades of Tomcat, because some of the older versions ran on Tomcat 7 instead of Tomcat 8. So this did it all. So anything that was a requirement for it, it would, like, if Tomcat was old, it would upgrade it. So I mean it was that simple. And now we have a tried and tested method, so that when version 4.4 comes out, or whatever the next version will be, you know, we just have to make an update to where it pulls the code from and run the same play again. And then we may not do what we had quite a few standing by, both from the Bangalore team and the North American team, to make sure everything was working, because we'd run into problems. Even in prod, we did run into a few problems where the password was incorrect in the vault, or like one of mine had a password where the username was like six letters, a capital A, D, and then lowercase D and M for the user. So it's like rabbit ADM or something like that, with a capital A, and it had a lowercase
A, and that fucked it up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Nothing that bad, but so in those cases,
I have password on my luggage.
Yeah, those cases, all we did was basically rebuild it manually and fix the password in vault just to get through it, because it took, you know, literally a couple minutes to do that. It wasn't worth technically we could have fixed the vault and reran the script again, and then it would have deployed right. But that's not something. We were just concerned with getting it all done, and we got it done. I only was up for the East outage, which is roughly from midnight to 2 or 3, I think. I can't remember. I was dog tired. I got the end of that one, and we had less problems with the non-prods. And that also goes important to test the deployment of that kind of stuff, is running in a non-prod. And when you run it in a non-prod and you're using the exact same code you're going to use in production, you're going to fix some problems that are going to that happen in production too. So, and then we had, like I said, these were a unique situation that we were upgrading something that was already in place and had been put in place, had various standards all across the board. All right. generally it worked. You know, there were some odd things that we had to correct in the code and some of the stuff in our deployment YAMLs, but nothing drastic. So things that we're thinking of for the future is we're thinking about making this kind of thing fully automated where we don't have to be standing by or online when it's running, so that if there is like a problem with one of the client deployments that we have built into it to page the person that needs to take care of it so that they can go in, fix it, and fix the deployment. So that way we don't have to have a team of people standing by for manual validation, because we did kind of do manual validation. It's kind of first time we did anything like that. So all the more reason for manual validation. We did that for a while for our production OS patching, but we don't do that anymore. So, but yeah, so we learned a lot from this one, and we're going to be making some modifications to it so that the next time it goes even better than it has before. And continuous improvement, continuous deployment there, essentially. So, and I wish I can say which products it was, but all that code with us is all in house, so it's nothing anybody would be familiar with, unfortunately, other than the fact that it uses the same Three Musketeer model.
That, so if you know what that is, NDA.
Yeah. So. The automation in this day and age is definitely much different than it was in the days of just writing shell scripts. So it's going to be Labor Day again. I don't have any big plans.
I'll be working.
I'm sorry.
Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
But that sucks.
That should mean that I get Wednesday, Thursday, Friday off. Should.
Should.
That'll be nice.
I've got my vacations planned for most of the rest of the year.
Oh, although my God.
I think we got a... I've got more.
It's going to be a nightmare.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem.
Nobody wants to take vacation, so that means that everybody wants to take it at Christmas.
Of course. But, yeah. Yeah, so it's like... Yeah, I think I got... Well, Christmas is weird this year because it's on a Sunday. So we already have the 23rd and the 26th off. Because we have the 23rd for our Christmas Eve holiday, which our company does take off on Christmas Eve. And then the 26th for the Christmas holiday. So I took time off, but yeah, I took
the
time off.
We don't even take Christmas off.
Yeah. Kind of sucks. I took the time off between Christmas and New Year's this year for the first time in a while. As far as I know, it's on the calendar, but I told the boss that if he needed me to, because we're not going to stay down at my dad's that whole time. If we need to, I can work those days possibly. But I'm going to probably take...
I do kind of mind working Christmas, but yeah. If I can do it from Florida, then that's not so bad.
Yeah,
but
I
don't know if we're going to Florida this year, if we're going to make the family come out to us.
Yeah. I don't know either with some of those. I also took some time off around Thanksgiving, but I might take like a couple Fridays off here and there just to do it, you know, just to take an extra long weekend.
But it might be nice to do Christmas from home one year.
Yes, it is nice to do that, because then it makes putting up all the decorations at home worth it. But if you are going to be traveling for Christmas, and your kids are going to want it before Christmas anyway, so there's that.
Well, we got a bigger house than my dad.
Right.
And all the kids' stuff is here, so I don't have to worry about packing or unpacking.
Yep. There's that, too. So, yeah, I pretty much, it gets a given unless something really happens that I'm going to go down there. Because I want to be there on the day to help Dad, because it's a rough enough day for him anyway, with that being the day that my mom passed. So
my wife's parents have had a lot of health issues this year.
Yep.
A couple of surgeries, things like that, and haven't been able to come out to visit in a while. So I think they'd probably want to come out for Christmas if we were going to be here. So.
Yep.
I don't know. Might be a good idea to go to Florida.
That sounds like a good idea to me. It's probably going to be nicer in Florida than Texas.
Well, my wife is laughing because she got it, because, you know, getting away from her family.
Oh. There's that, too. Yeah, so I'm at the point, I think, what, I get 3 weeks a year, I think, and I barely take it. She wants to go away?
Uh-huh. They would visit for at least a week. I mean, it's kind of pointless for them to drive 800 miles if they're not going to stay for a while.
You can always fly them.
they wouldn't fly. They wouldn't fly. No, I know they wouldn't fly. They would drive. And I don't know if her brother would come or not.
I mean, it's almost not worth me going down, except for that's the only time of the year I get to see my dad. Because the last few years, it's just been the exchanging of the gift cards.
Well, we haven't gone back to El Paso in a couple of years now. Because we don't want to stay with Jackie's parents, and that's where we normally stay. You know, I do kind of miss my friends, all that jazz, but I understand the reasoning behind it. And yeah. So we've been going to my dad's house a lot. So as a change, it might be nice to stay here. I don't know. I got to talk to Jackie.
And what? How far is El Paso from you?
It's 13 hours away.
They're about 800 miles away. We're about at the halfway point.
Okay.
Texas is a big state.
Well, yeah.
And we're in the middle.
I know. Remember, I drove it.
From Dallas to El Paso, it was 13 hours.
13 hours.
Yeah, we drove from Columbus area to Dallas area in 2017. Yeah.
It's actually closer from El Paso to California than it is from El Paso to
that
East
makes
Texas.
Sense. Yeah.
Okay, in 9.5 hours from Phoenix, Denver, or Austin.
Yep. It's like when we went to Texas, you know, my brother was like, "Why don't you just drive straight through?" It's like, I'm not insane.
Legally.
Yeah. So when
she
did
can't
that,
hear you, Joel.
Yeah.
You can hear her, she can't hear you.
When we went down there, we stayed at Nashville on the way down, and on the way back, because we were leaving midway through the day, we made the pit stop in Arkansas and then drove the rest of the way. So, it's not a horrible drive, except for the, you know, several places where there were construction, and construction makes my son antsy. But yeah, we got.
Yeah, there are certain places in New Mexico that are like permanently under construction. Like we drove through them for like 15 years, and every year there was construction.
Yep. Sounds like the East Coast, doesn't it, Dad? There's always some place under construction in Virginia.
Well, yeah. Around here, yeah. There's something always going on construction-wise.
Roundabouts, Ruidoso.
We got to start wrapping this up. It's getting late.
Yes, we do.
Some of us got more scripting to do tomorrow.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
We'll see you guys in September.
Yes, see you in September. Enjoy the Labor Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I will see you in a couple of days. Here it is. Your audio.
I am short.
Oh my God.
It's Hacker
Public
Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello, my name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making it poo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Dummy dummy.
Sushi. Never made sushi.
I have. It's a little difficult.
Especially if you don't have all the stuff.
Yeah, no, actually, I shouldn't say it's difficult. It's just to get it, you can do it, but to do it good takes some practice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
The one thing I didn't mention on the show, though, is that I discovered that the company that makes the starships I have in my room, Eagle Moss, they are bankrupt.
Uh-oh.
So they're not going to make them anymore. I'm glad they didn't buy it. They had this thing not too long ago where you would start the subscription. And that's kind of one of the things they've always did was they had subscriptions where they would send you a starship a month or something like that. And it would vary in price depending which one it was. But they did a thing where it was they'd send you a kit. And you build part of a larger model, and it was the model of the Enterprise D. All right. Well, they've been having problems getting their stuff for months, and many of them probably aren't. I guess they're going to try and figure out how to send everyone the rest of the parts they need to finish their models. But right now, it's not looking good for them. They did whatever the equivalent of the bankruptcy going out of business thing that happens in the United States, but they're based out of the UK. So, but so I actually found a couple models that were on Amazon. I ordered those, the Enterprise C and the Enterprise. From the movies, not the A. So we're talking one and two, Star Trek one and two's version of the Enterprise. So I think all three original batteries swelled up and when I replaced the top shell on it, not because of a crash, was because one of the batteries swelled up and the clip cracked the fuselage. The top shell of it, so.
So yeah, swollen batteries can do a lot of damage.
Yeah, I need to get another. Even if they don't leak. Yep. Then you get an upgraded drone, but I think I'm gonna, not only going to actually probably technically be a downgrade, because I'll probably go with the Mini 2 because it's a little cheaper. It's also a hell of a lot smaller. So, the only thing I don't like about those is they're so small that once I get up to altitude, I'm almost afraid I might miss it in LOS. But it's hard to even spot my my Mavic when I'm up at 400. But hey, at least if I got the Mini, though, the Mini 2, it's under the FCC or FAA limit for where you have to register the drone, so I don't have to register it. So it's a weight class.
And don't need a special license.
Yep. I don't know if you'd have, I guess you'd still have to get your 107 if you wanted to get paid to do it, but I don't care. I'm not doing things I get paid for. You know, when I take a picture of my church from the air, it don't really matter. You know, cause
Church ain't paying you?
Nah, they don't pay me. And I gladly do it for free.
That's what you tell all the boys.
Mm-hmm. I did that. Well, yeah, true story here. I flew my drone. A friend of mine, his daughter was getting married. All right. And I flew the drone for that, and I gave them the picture. I was doing it just as a gift for them, because they're, you know, just young couple starting out, right? Not even 6 months into the marriage, he flies the coop.
Disappears.
No one knows where he's at. Not even his parents knew where he was at. All right. Then he's finally found, and now I question whether they were actually truly married or if it was just a ceremony, because I never wouldn't, because I'm into, you know, I know how to search public records for marriage certificates and stuff like that. I never could find one, but I know she's not with him anymore and he's getting married to some other girl. But oh well, that freed up a couple gigs of dry space, because I got rid of the pictures.
They just wanted the wedding presents.
Apparently, maybe, I don't know. It was right after it happened, I knew they were living with her parents, but oh well, what can you do? But I'm trying to eat out less, but the weather doesn't help me when I buy stuff to go put in my grill and it starts to thunderstorm right about.
I wish it would actually friggin' rain here.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know, around my house. I know in the DFW area it has, but not here.
Yep. So I think I'm gonna probably do burgers tomorrow, I think. Thursday nights used to be my bachelor night, so I'd almost always order something.
Somebody's
echoing.
And we can't blame it on Joel this time.
No. Did Dan just come in? He did. Yep.
I'm trying to tweak my settings so I don't get random turn-ons.
And I tested, too.
Yeah, Joel, you sound fine today. You sound just as bad as you normally do.
Whoa, ho, ho, ho.
But I think that's actually your voice.
You're funny.
I'm hilarious. I should do stand-up.
I was only on 6 hours of Zoom calls today, and then...
I didn't have the Zoom calls, but it was calls, and it was all damn day. My allergies are so damn bad, I am thinking I might have to take tomorrow off, because I just can't breathe. Really?
Well, that's what you need the rain for, to wash all the fucking pollen out of the air.
Yes, just to put just the stuff on the ground and get it out of the air. All I want.
Well, so when I get, so towards the end of the day, we get like a ticket comes in that sounds like a security issue. But the client doesn't tell us, you know, what they found. So it's like, we may have an issue on their VPC. We may not. I don't know. So, man, that sounds really freaking awful.
We really need to fix that. It is bad.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
It is, isn't it?
There you go.
Much better.
Yeah, we're
except for that echo.
Yeah,
echo. Sounds like
echo.
No.
Shit, what's echoing?
You're echoing.
And it's definitely.
Switch to DMG or S.
Welcome to Madison Garden.
It's Dan's.
Well, you'll only need the ass. Hi.
Wait. Monday. Sunday.
Did that get rid of it?
No, partially.
Yes, mostly. Yeah.
You're echoing. Like when you talk, you're echoing. But we're not echoing anymore.
Did that get rid of it now?
That's perfect now.
Okay.
Yeah, that's great.
Is it going to come back if I do this?
Good. Here it comes back.
Yeah, it came back. Wait, hold on. Where is this? Is that better?
Derp. Yes.
Is there an echo? Okay, so.
No.
All right.
Tuesday.
Wednesday, it's hump day.
Let me try this one more time.
It's hump day.
Shit.
Dan's jacking the mic off.
You're doing what, my mic?
Wednesday.
Okay.
Feedback.
Testing?
Okay. Testing?
Sibilance.
All right. Now, let me see.
Quick brown fox.
Testing. Okay, now.
Pat, can you hear us?
Damn it.
And it sounds like...
Damn it. Now we're in the space again. You can hear the singularity in the background. Okay, that's good.
How am I going to do this? Oh.
Carefully. And with much forethought.
So here's the problem. We should probably just start the show. Let's just start the show. There's not going to be any audio. There's not going to be any audio intro on the show. And I'll explain why.
That's coming from your music system?
Well, something like that. You know what I can do? Oh my god, look at this. There's no guarantee that this will work. But let's just try this quickly. This will be our last.
Oh, I hate this damn thing.
Every time I miss.
Well, here's what you do.
Turn off the mic on the other one.
Mute the mic. Play the music.
There we go. Every time I mess with it. Okay. So, let me double check here. All right. Let's see if this will do it. No guarantees.
Everything's.
Oh. There we go. Oh, look, it recognized the device.
Ooh.
Oh, see, this might be the problem. Okay, recording from.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's.
Wait. What? Testing, testing, testing.
Audio adapter.
1, 2, 3.
Try one more time.
I always say, and then like 15 times later.
Yeah. 15. Yeah. Well, I'm trying. Did I? Oh, here. Yeah, there we go. I did that. So let's see.
Anybody out there? Yep, echo.
Echo? Well, is it not?
It sounds fine.
I would like to see. What's that? What's this? Hold on, I don't want to mute it. Alright, so it's not. I mean, oh, this is such a pain in the ass. Okay, so that's not it. Let me double check something. Give me one second. Come on. Let me make sure I don't have this muted. Oh, yeah, look at that. All right, so that's no longer muted. Now let's push that up, push this up. Okay, this shouldn't be muted. Recording
that should be.
Let's see what this, one second, audio, no. Oh, let me see what I have the audio set to here. Audio input, built-in audio adapter, okay, let's try that. Apply, okay, is it doing anything? Wait, what? Why is it showing as muted? Like, why isn't it blue? Why isn't this? Do I have? Oh.
All of your icons are blue.
That's okay. What it normally is.
So now that, that should be. So now is, are we? Why is it not? It's probably because I'm trying to. Oh, you know what?
No,
chicken bird.
I don't.
Let's get rid of this.
I feel like I'm only getting a third of this conversation.
Let's change this. Let's put this into here. Let's put this into here. Oh, look at that. Okay.
Yeah.
No, we don't want that. We want to use that.
I want to eat that.
Input devices. Line in. And.
Don't forget to record.
Let's make sure it's not muted.
You're playing music or anything, I don't hear it.
I'm not. I'm trying to make sure everything is set up properly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now I got line in. This should be going into line in, yes. You know, I need to play something longer. All right, so that is playing. Why am I not getting anything in line in? How many line ins does this have? You know, this is what I hate about this shit.
Because you have to recombobulate it every day?
No, that's not the problem. There's a whole other problem. So, input device, don't want the microphone, line in. And recording is coming in. No, I don't want the recording. I want that. And then I should switch this. Okay. Well, I mean, it looks like it. I don't know. Yeah, I don't want to lock these channels. Yeah, I don't know what the deal is here. It's not liking this. Anyway, all right, let's just start the show. We'll forego the audio, the music this week. So.